Father, we come to you and we thank you that your word is alive and is full of power. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even dividing asunder soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. God, you're going to help us now by teaching us, leading us, guiding us, and bringing us into all truth. Cause us to understand your word, to use it for every part of our lives. And God, when your word enters in, brightness comes. We'll see things we never saw. You'll show us ways to do things. You'll show us the answer to what we're looking for. And we thank you, Lord, that this will cause the blessings of God to come into the lives of your people easily now in Jesus' name. I cancel the assignment of the enemy. He consistently comes to steal the word. He can't do it because I cancel it in Jesus' name. You said, the greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world, so it's greater than him. So I cancel his assignment to steal this word. I remind you, Satan, that, and you and all your demons, you're heading to the lake of fire forever. You have no right in these proceedings. This word that's being delivered is not for you. I thank you, Lord God, that we receive it, and it's bringing forth great fruit in abundance. In Jesus' name, I call it done. And everybody said, amen. Let's make a confession. Say, this is my Bible. I am what the Word of God says that I am. I have what the Word of God says that I have. I can do what the Word of God says that I can do. I am a hearer of God's word on purpose. But I'm not stopping there. I am also a doer of the word that I hear. So, Satan, I'm about to hear something and do it, and you can't stop me. This is my Bible. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In Jesus' name, I declare it done. Amen. Go ahead and give somebody a high five and then be seated. Let's go in our Bibles. Let's go to a couple of areas. Go with me to Genesis chapter 12. Now, we have been studying about how to receive in 2026. I'm going to be doing this till the end of this month and for the next few weeks until the end of this month. I am going to stay on the third thing that I have for you concerning this area because there's two. Number one, we said we must learn to please God if we're going to enjoy 2026. I see that there's some of you that have already made a decision. You're going to do that. I mean, you know, if you're going to put a smile on the face, on your face, put a smile on God's at the same time. Let's please him and please us at the same time. Let's not be selfish about the pleasure in the kingdom and in our lives. Now, Genesis chapter 12 and verse number 1, we have gone to this at least a time or two, and it bears repeating. There's also some scriptures in Genesis 17. I don't believe we're going to get there, but Genesis 12 gives us some information of what we need, because the three things that I gave to you, and I asked you to write these down, is number one, you want to please God if you want to have a great year this year. Of course, we're using this time to prep, but this will be good for the next year and the next year and the next year. Please God with all that you can do. The Bible says, come out from among them. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate. You can't run with just everybody and what their agenda is and please the God of the universe who has his own agenda. You know God's got an agenda. And he also has a plan for your life. And sometimes the reason why we're not enjoying life is because we're not fulfilling his plan in our lives. But he says, be separate. Says the Lord, do not touch what is unclean. Now, I want to talk about that too. There are some things we shouldn't even get involved with. We shouldn't, as it were, touch. And I don't just mean touch with our senses, you know, with our fingers or whatever. We just shouldn't get involved with some things. But some things you need to be able to learn how to say no about. And a lot of us, we don't even know how to say no anymore. Everything is thumbs up. Everything is thumbs up. Everything is thumbs up. Everything is not thumbs up. Okay, you need to take that thumb and... Well, anyhow, what? What? Yeah, everything is not thumbs up. I'll just say it that way, okay? Some things are, and there's nothing wrong with being definitive. The Bible says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. And anything else besides yes or no is evil. And so many of us, we live these fuzzy lives. We don't want to tell the truth about what we're really saying or doing or whatever. And it doesn't come to a good place in life. We need to know that we need to say yes or no. Be straight about it. We learned already, and I believe part of the time it was on Wednesday night, that let your truth stand, even if it hurts. Swear to your hurt, as David had to do in the book of Psalms. So it's important for us to make our yes, and our no, even God says, either you're hot or you're cold, and if you're lukewarm, see, and I tend to be this way, and people want to criticize, because if you're lukewarm with me, I just don't want to fool with you. You got to be 100%. Forget that. I don't want my wife to some days love me, and the other days she loves somebody else. You got different flavors with different people. I ain't one of them. I ain't got them bones in me. You're going to be committed to me. You're going to tell me the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. Okay? Ain't no secrets in the marriage. Ain't no secrets in the partnership. Ain't no secrets in nothing. We're going to just tell you the truth. Ain't no, oh, by the way. Oh, by the nothing. You know what I mean? And we got to get that way. Because we got too many, see, and the Lord was putting in my heart, this type of ministry is so needed because the world has changed so much. It's so flaky. It's so compromising. It's so, such a lie. People live lies. They are living lies. And they know they're lying. Some people know they're not really living truthful. And they expect you to live along with them with that lie and wink, wink, nod, nod, sure. Gotcha, brother. No, let's do this thing straight. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Come out from among them. Come out from among them. Come out from among them. You can't hang with everybody and God too. Because some of them folks is being run by the devil. And others are just being deceived. Now, I keep saying this, but the last days, the Bible says people will be deceiving and being deceived. While you're deceiving people, you're being deceived. That's the last days. So for me, I put on my discernment hat. I want to know, are you really what you say you are? I mean, you've shook hands with people you thought was a man. And to this day, you still think they're a man. And they're not. What they do behind this curtain? They trying to distract me. It ain't working. Anyhow, you've shaken hands with people and thought they were a man. In this time of deception, they're not a man. Never was a man. Been a woman. The Lord says, just pause and let it sink in. just let it. I'm so glad I'm married. I do not have to go out there looking. Lord Jesus, thank you. I don't know how in the world you do that now. How do you go find a virtuous woman in this crazy place? Because the Bible says, who can find a virtuous wife or woman? And so I was on the hunt. Brothers, a little hint for you. If you're going to have yourself that virtuous wife, you got to go look for her. It means you got to pray. Say, God, is this one for me? Because there's, like a lot of people say, there's a lot of fishes in the sea. That's a real good saying, huh? I can't find the scripture on that, though. Come out from among them, therefore. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. In other words, if you do not come out from among them, you can't be received by him. Why don't I have a real close relationship with God? Because you got so many friends that take you away from God. I did it one day. I said, okay, I'm going to sit here and I'm really going to listen to what people say. And I went, I listened to some people talking. And I won't tell you what I was listening to. It was some political sort of corporate kind of stuff, and all these sayings, people giving these stories, it's a very famous group that does this. And at the end of this, my brain felt like jello. It's like, I can't understand it. Because there was nothing that you could rely on that they said. It all sounded good, but none of it was tied to the eternal. None of it was tied to the word of God that never changes. So God wants you to be able to live in obedience. Second thing, that's the second thing. First thing is that he wants you to please him. God deserves to be pleased. It takes some elements to do that. But the second thing we learn is that we have to learn obedience. Some of you still have that donkey spirit in you since you was at home. You were rebellious at home. You never got it out of you because they never spanked your rear end. And they should have. They should have spanked your rear end. I want to go to, you know, and we've been to the jails. My books were number one in the Pierce County jail here. Sent them to Talladega. We've sent them all over the country. And we're starting to do it again. But I'm telling you, I want to go in there and say, the only reason why you're in here is because your mama didn't spank your butt. Foolishness is in the heart of the child. But the rod of reproof will drive it out. Sometimes people don't get disciplined to learn obedience until it's at the end of a baton from a police trying to drive out that foolishness, or at the end of a gun from a law enforcement officer. But God doesn't want you to live like that. He doesn't want your kids to live like that. He doesn't want your grandkids living like that. He wants you to live where you are obedient to the Lord. And that you've learned obedience. Everybody is not crazy that talks to you. You don't know everything. I don't know everything. We have to learn some things. And one of the things we need to learn is obedience. That's the second thing that we can do to be able to make sure we have a good 2026 is to learn obedience. Say, learn obedience. And one of the things we said is the fruit of righteousness is the tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. So we want to be able to be wise, not foolish. We should be about the things winning souls. We also learned that 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, evil communications corrupts good manners. So you can be raised by the best parents on the planet and get with the wrong fool and act a fool. And stuff. I'm going to say this. Brothers, would you please be the man of the house if you're a man of God and stop letting the woman tell you what to do? No, we ain't on live stream no more. Don't worry about it. What are they going to say that's watching live stream? What they need to say, they're coming back to church. You need to be the man of your house. If you are a man of God, you should stand up and be the man of that house and make sure that house is godly. Take care of that wife. Take care of those children. Be a godly man. Don't choose sin. Choose to live right, because it's only going to go right if you do that. But see, the problem is that we get around evil people, even though we've been trained right. Evil communications knocks out all your training. You went to church all your life and didn't get out there, listen to a few fools, and in a few months, you're a mess. Total mess, because you pick up the values of somebody that didn't live in your house with God and a godly household. You go find a fool that was raised by fools, being pretty graphic here, don't mean to be, but you go live with a bunch of, you think you're going to marry a fool and make him wise. And this is what happens to people. They get trained and then they leave God. That's what happened to the children of Israel. They did the same thing. They did the same thing. They would follow God for a period of time, get blessed, and then get away from God. God doesn't want us to live like that. He wants us blessed consistently. He wants to protect your life. He wants to heal you, deliver you. He wants you to enjoy this life like never before. God is a good God. I said he is a good God. So the reason why he tells you not to get with evil people is not because he don't want you to have no fun. That's not it. The Bible says that sin has a pleasure for a season, but that season's going to go bye-bye. And after that sin season is over and your pleasure is over, you're going to be dealing with the repercussions of living in sin, and you don't want that. So we learned that we need to do some things to get out of that. I told you some stories concerning those things and told you to swear to your hurt. Be honest as much as you possibly can. Come out from among them and then come unto me, come now and let us reason together. That if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. You be willing and obedient, you are guaranteed prosperity. And some people are obedient, but they're not willing. They're doing it and they hate every minute of it. And God sees your attitude. Now I asked personally, because the Spirit of the Lord came to me and said, have Terrell Davis and his sister, Anias. Now this never came to me. I've been pastoring for 38 years now here at Pacific Christian Center, full time. Never in 38 years has God said, have them open the service. And I'm in prayer and the Lord saying, have Terrell and Anias open the service up. Now, they came up here and had a ball. Now, I'm all right about it, okay? Both of them aren't used to being in front of audiences. Anais is an award-winning dancer. She ballet and all kinds of other dance. She hates when I talk about this. But she wins. She's about to go to Los Angeles and win again. Last time, her team came into number two. This year, it's number one in the nation. She is sought after and is looked at as one of the best performers and presenters. You see her during a gospel Christmas and other times. Terrell is not stupid either. He's 17 years old, got his own business and doing all kinds of work. They could have punked me off, even as their grandpa said, I ain't thinking about you. Or they could have came up here and said, okay, are y'all welcome for service today? Okay, give somebody a high five next to you. Shake somebody's hand. Okay, am I done yet? They could have been obedient but not willing, but they didn't have that attitude. I'm going to share something with you also. I text him and I text her. She got back to me right away. He did not. But he texted me back and apologized. He said, I've been busy. I know, you got your business, you got to fulfill your orders and order some more stuff from China. Anyhow, and oh yes, he was modeling this week for some big company that he's done, Eddie Bauer. He's done a lot of companies in the years. He's a famous model also. They're going to get me after this. Anyhow, so I was like, I want to see what his attitude is. Because if he doesn't want to do this, I don't want to push him into obedience. I want him to be willing, not just obedient. But he was truly, actually, very busy this week. So he got back to me, apologized. I didn't get back to you, Grandpa. I'll be glad to be able to help out with this, something like that. He said, so I'm watching his attitude the whole time. Then I called him up last night, said, listen, we need to give you some instructions. First lady gave him some instructions on what to do, and we'll have an agenda for you, and blah, 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 blah. Boy, his attitude was just great. See, because I don't want to work with jackasses, okay? I'm sorry. I don't want to, yee-haw, yee-haw, yee-haw. What do you want me to do? Yee-haw. I don't want that. I want to work with people that want to work with me. And there's nothing wrong with that. You should have people. I don't want you to go to the doctor. You got a serious condition you're dealing with. You go to the doctor and he don't even want to talk to you. I want to work with somebody that wants me healed, okay? Prescribe. I mean, check me. Look, I mean, really look. Did you look and see what I got? Did you touch me? I mean, did you at least ask me how I feel? Did you ask for any symptoms? Do you care? If you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. If you're willing and obedient. So I watched how willing was. He got up here, he was, woo, praise the Lord. She got up here, zinger. She is so cool. They're both so cool. I thought it was great. If they were not obedient and willing, first of all, they just would have said, no, I don't want to do that. Fine, they're still my grandkids. Come over and eat the cookies. I don't have a problem. But if they were obedient but not willing, I still would be saying, I don't want to push people. I want to make sure this is something you want to do. And that goes for the rest of your life. I mean, for whatever they would be involved with or anybody in your life, you should be that way. God, and I've told you this concerning offerings in this church. I'm doing somewhat pastoring right now. I told you I will never coerce you to make you give, force you or try to make you feel bad because you didn't give. You do what you want to do. I'm not going to force you to do anything. Now, I'll teach you, but we're asking you to do what God would have you to do, not just what you want to do, because God will guide you. All right, now, today, we're on number three. We're just about done. We're halfway there. Number three, our third thing that we're looking at to be able to help us in 2026, besides, of course, being able to learn obedience and to please God, is to learn how to have faith in God. Now, this is going to take for the remainder of the next weeks left in this month or in this quarter. As I told you, I was doing this for the whole first quarter. We're going to learn about how to have faith because that's part of an equation that I gave to you. That faith plus obedience equals good success. It's amazing to me how many people actually use faith but have no idea what faith really is. They use it all the time. You use it every time you sit down in a chair like you're sitting. You don't even think about the fact that the leg could, you know, collapse under you. You use it when you go out to start your car. You don't even think about it. You just turn the key. You expect it to start. In fact, you're surprised when it doesn't. We use faith. We believe that when we turn on that light switch, the lights are coming on. We believe that when we go to the pantry, the food that we left last night is still going to be there, unless, of course, you got the grandkids over, at which time you know that where it went, okay? Because some of them can eat like a horse. Calling no names like Terrell or anything like that. But see, God wants you to really to have this kind of relationship in your heart that you want to be able to have faith, not just for the things that are so simple to have faith for, but you want to have faith in God. How to have faith in God. To have faith in God first, please write this down, begins with the Word. Now we're learning something. Not only learning obedience as we did last week, but we're learning to have faith in God. And we do that through the Word of God. Now, I'll be very, very simple. I'm going to be somewhat, redundant or even childish in what I'm teaching and how I'm teaching. But I want to teach the elementary understanding of this. This is the Bible, is the Word of God expressed to us. There is no other book than the Bible that we use to receive the Word of God in the written form. All other books, I'm an author, I've written several books. My wife is an author, she's written several books. We have more coming. But all other books on the planet that are to help you with the kingdom of God or the things of God should be based on this book here. If it goes against this book, you should reject it as far as kingdom business is concerned. Because the Word of God becomes the final authority in your life, that everything that you believe that is going to happen now and in the hereafter has to be based on the Word of God as a believer. Now, in aviation, we have a thing called a FAR aim. It's a federal information, some whatever, in aim is aeronautic, something other, something like. Anyhow, the FAR aim is the pilot's Bible. It's bigger than this, actually. And it is all the federal rules and regulations about how you are supposed to fly any type of aircraft or even some of the things that we deal with in space. We have to follow that. If we do not follow that and something goes wrong, you get sued because it's pilot error. So we have to know that book. We have to understand that book. We have to understand how close we're supposed to be to other aircraft, what we're supposed to do when they tell us different things, when we're flying the aircraft, how long can we stay in a hold? How long do we take to do this? And when should we go here? And when, what does that sign mean on the runway? And what does that sign mean on the taxiway? We have to know all that stuff, because if we violate, go across that line and go into the runway without being cleared to do that, there's all kinds of things that can just get you sued or killed. This here is more important than that there. If you flew in an airplane any distance whatsoever, they were following the pilot's Bible. And that's how you got there safely. If you're going to fly to heaven, you're going to have to use God's Bible. You can't get to the destination without it. In this Bible, it's broken down in all kinds of chapters and verses. That's how we refer to it. There's one in Romans 10, 9, and 10. That you must confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead to be saved. Because if you don't get saved while you're alive, you will be lost. Because the world, the earth, is cursed because of sin that came in with Adam and Eve. Now, you may think that to be a fairy tale, but I tell you, there is no fairy tale in what I'm telling you. And when God calls a man or a woman to the ministry, he calls them and makes them responsible to him, not to them. He's not necessarily responsible to the people. He's responsible to God to do what he is supposed to do or she is supposed to do to please God based on following this Bible, the Word of God. And woe if they preach not the gospel, they preach something else. That's what the Bible says. Now, if we're going to have faith, we're going to have it through the Word of God. Go with me to this Genesis chapter 12 and verse number 1. Let's go back there again. It says, now the Lord had said unto Abram, notice his name is Abram here, get thee out of your country, from your kindred, and from your father's house. We looked at this briefly just a little while ago. Unto the land, there's a place, say the land, that I will show you. God will show you where to go. Are you in the place where God wants you to be? Or are you just going where you want to go? He will show you unto this place that he wants you to go. He has a place that he wants to show you, or a way that he wants to have you to live. You are created, I am created by God. So God has his own way of doing things. He has his own plan for your life, and we need to get on with his plan, not ours. This is a very short time to be expressing ourselves, meaning that we ain't gonna live that long before we hit eternity. And it's important for us to live according to the things of God in order for God to be pleased. Let's look at the second verse. Watch this down. This is the man that is the father of faith. Jesus is not the father of faith, but he is the one that we have faith in. We have faith in Jesus, but we have faith in Jesus according to the pattern of this Abraham man. God came to him and said, I will make of thee a great nation. Now, God was telling him things that he needed to believe. And you may be hearing something from God right now, that God's going to cancel your debt. God's going to heal your body. God's going to put your marriage back together. God is going to bless you with a child. Whatever it is, that thing is promised to you, and it's up to you to believe that God is not a lie, that he's telling the truth. He can't lie, but he only tells the truth. He told him, I will make of thee a great nation. Problem with this man is that he was old. Have you ever thought of old people? You know, people hate old people sometimes. They really do. There's a lot of prejudice against old people. I didn't know that until I started getting gray hair. And I started getting gray hair, man. Depending on who you go talk to, they'll treat you completely different. People are especially now, in this society, they hate old people. They hate them. And they'll struggle. They'll go through hell without, just so they don't have to listen to an old person. They'll do all kinds of stupid stuff because they think, oh, but what you don't know is that you're getting older every day. You're going to be right in that club, and everybody's going to treat, and you will reap what you sow. So the way you treat them old folks, the way you're going to be treated, multiplied. I like to treat old people nice. You know, Danae loves old people. She loves us. The older we get, the more she loves us. She loves working with old people. She always liked old people. She's a young lady that loves old people. I don't know why she loves old people, what the deal is, but I think she just likes to respect them. She likes to honor them. So, you know, we're in her corner all the time now. Around her, I might even put some powder in my hair, you know, just to, I said, how you doing, sister? But she loves old people. But God loves old people too. You need to get this. God loves old people. And he didn't call Abraham old until he was 175 years old. Don't be running around here talking about I'm old. I'm 71. I ain't even hit the 75. I need to add 100. When I get 174, you can start talking. But seriously, God didn't call him old. He said, you're going to die in a good old age, old age. So apparently an old age is not 71 or 72. An old age is not 70. An old age must be 175. Wow. Everybody going, wow. And I will make of thee a great nation. He had to believe this because he couldn't have any children because he was old. And some of you think you can't do things because you've been trying for the longest to do this. Trying to go into business all this time. You never made it. You're not too old. It's not too stale of an idea. God knows how to launch you. God is not looking at your age. He's the one that created eternity, which we will live in. You are already really living in eternity if you're born again. You're going to be just... You just exchange what kind of body you have. It says, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee. I will bless thee. I will bless thee. You and I have a blessing that's called the blessing of Abraham. It started right here. The way God blessed him is the way God's going to bless you. I said, the way God blessed him is the way God's going to bless you. And I will make thy name great. Please underline that. Your name should not be mud. People should look at you and know your name, and you should be able to carry some dignity with that name. Now, as a child of God, you should be known as a child of God. You should be known as a person that's a serious believer in God and carry that name without shame. Even your own personal name, you should carry that name. I'm a shorter. There's a heritage with shorters. They always were leaders. Louisiana, we lost our great-great-great-grandfather because he was standing up against racism, and they killed him in the Alexandria area of Louisiana. They killed the man who was a preacher because he stood up against injustice. And they've had different ceremonies about Lloyd Shorter and others down there. Actually, my nephew knows more about this than anybody else. Andreas here, he knows more about all of this. He studied all this. But if you're part of the Shorter family, you're somebody. I come from a line of preachers. My grandfather was a very well-known preacher in Louisiana. My father was a preacher. Many of my brothers and sisters and others, I have preachers all over the place. Leaders, attorneys. Shorters aren't stupid. Shorters are sharp people. They're usually business people, and they're very serious-minded. They have a strong kin to the things of God. They love God. Shorters have always been blessed. Shorters are individuals that are innovators. You need to know who you are. God created you to be somebody. I remember the last time I heard my grandfather preach. 70-some-odd years old, he flew up here, pastor here in Tacoma, one of the large Baptist churches that we were part of, brought him up here. And the one sermon he preached, that one time that I heard, I'll never forget. I am somebody. And that old man preached that gospel, that I am somebody. And I'll never forget him preaching that word. And he talked about whoever you are somebody. And you need to live like you are somebody. You ain't just anybody, you are somebody. But you got to have faith in God to get to that person that you are, that somebody that God has called you to be. Many of you have relatives and friends and others that you've grown up with that would attest to the fact that you and your family has been a blessing to God. But God made him great and made his name great, 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 his name great. I said his name great. But Pastor, you want fame? Listen, if I wanted fame, I would have stayed in secular radio and television where everybody listens instead of going to the Christian where a few folks come by and turn on the channel. I'd have stayed with ABC Network. I'd have stayed with Channel 4 in Seattle. I'd have stayed with KJR. I would have stayed with KBI. I would have stayed with the secular folks because they pay a whole lot more money than the Christian folks. But God wants to make your name great, not for yourself. He wants to bless you so you can be able to give him glory. You carry him with you. How can he get a name if you don't get a name? How can people know about him if they don't know about you? And besides, what's wrong with having a name that's great? We call on Abraham. We talk about David. We got, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in our Bible. If you ain't supposed to have a good name or a big name or have a name, then why God use all those names in the Bible? Ain't nothing wrong with Joshua. Ain't nothing wrong with all of these different ones in the Bible. God uses names. He uses people. So you need to get ready for God to use you. But it's going to have to take faith to do it. Come on now. It's going to take some faith to do it. God wants to use you right where you are. So we need to know some things because God wants to be able to make your name great and you shall be a blessing. Watch this now, the last verse that I want to read out of this right now. It says, and I will bless them that bless you. You need to let people know you get blessed when you help me. You bless me, you're blessed. I said, you bless me, you're blessed. Turn to somebody, tell them, you bless me, you're blessed. Come on, turn to somebody else, the one you didn't choose, and tell them, you bless me, you're blessed. It says, I will bless them that bless thee. I will curse him that curses thee. You need to turn to somebody else, the one you didn't choose this time. Maybe behind you, around you, in some other place, say, don't be cursing me. Don't be coming against me, because God will come against you. I won't come against you, but God will come against you. And you need to warn people that you are somebody. Say, I am somebody. Say it again. Say, I am somebody. Say it one more time. Say, I am somebody. Say it like you mean it. Say, I know I am somebody. Now, when you get this faith like this, you will know that you are blessed to be a blessing. And look at what it says. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Listen to me. Abraham, who's in the Bible, who is the father of our faith, blesses every family in the world. It's through Abraham. It's through having the Abrahamic covenant that we have, where we have the same faith as Abraham with God. It says, and I will bless them that bless thee, not we. You got to live this thing as a personal thing. I bless them that bless thee, curse him that curses thee. Nothing can come to you to hurt you. God is watching over you. Because you can't be cursed because God has already blessed you. You can't be, don't be afraid of nobody talking about, I'm going to curse you. You can't curse nothing. I had a joker cuss at me in the parking lot out here one day with his raggedy dog going around here pooping on the lawn. And I don't like that because our kids play out there. I told him, get your dog and take it somewhere else because you ain't paying no tithes, giving offering, and you sure ain't serving God with that dog pooping on our land. And he got mad. He said, blanky, blanky, blank. I said, it's back at you. You can't do it. I got Teflon coating. I don't know what you're talking about. It's back at you, buddy. So, you just cursed yourself. You cursed me. You cursed. See, I believe this. I don't just read this so I can be able to have a Sunday morning offering. I believe this. You cursed me. You messed yourself up. That's all. You just messed yourself up. Because I don't have to do nothing. God knows how to take care of you. I'll be sleeping at home and God be just knocking your head off. And you, next time I see you, I'm like, what happened? And you're like, well, I cursed you. I told you don't mess with me. Now, it may not happen instantaneously, and this is why people don't believe it. And see, some of us, we think we deserve being walked on because we've been taught wrong. We think we're supposed to be the world's doormat. No, you ain't walking on me. I got the Spirit of God in me. Well, what are we going to do about suffering for the Lord? You didn't suffer enough, and Jesus suffered for the rest. You don't need no suffering. What you need to do is rule and reign and give God some glory in Jesus' name. Talk to me, somebody. Come on now. Now, here's the problem. Here's the problem with this. We can't even handle the blessing. We're going to deal with this for the next few weeks. We're going to get the blessing all over you. You're going to be walking around people saying, come on over here, because you, I know you blessed. Get on over here, Reverend Dr. So-and-so. Come on over here. I know you're blessed. See, people should be wanting, should want to be around you. People should want to be around you because they know there's something on you. Okay, I got to deliver this. Go Philippians 4:12. See, because most of us, and I see it on your face. See, sometimes while I'm preaching, I can read faces. And the Lord told Jeremiah, don't be afraid of your face. And I ain't afraid of your face. I'm just reading your face. You're going to scare me. But I can see on your face, you can't accept this because you've been taught religion, which religion teaches you to suffer. And so you come up in a church like this, well, I ain't suffering nothing. Now, you're going to go through things anyhow. There are things that's going to come to you. You can't stop it. Sickness is all in the air. There's all kinds of diseases all over. People driving around with guns and all kinds of crazy stuff. You know, but God, you have to believe that God is protecting you. I believe, oh gosh, go to Isaiah 54:17. Here's what I believe. I believe that God is protecting you. He's protecting you. I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about he's protecting you. How do you think I can pastor and not worry about y'all all night? Y'all moving and grooving, going all over the place, doing all kinds of things, getting all kinds of reports from doctors and stuff. I have to use my faith because I want you to do well. You may not think that, but God has put that in me as a pastor to want you to do well. I'm not against you. I want you to do well. Do you understand what I just said? I want you to do well. Say, he wants me to do well. Come on, tell somebody else. He wants me to do well. Look, watch this now. I believe this, that no weapon formed against thee shall prosper. So what weapon is left? So when you start having faith in God, you need to know God is on your side. There's no weapon formed against you that shall prosper. And one translation says, no weapon trained against you, meaning like someone is pointing the weapon against you. We live in a crazy world. On 112th Street, I'm trying to pray about what I'm going to do. Either we're going to hold a prayer meeting and give out vials of oil and just anoint this street or something. There's too many murders going on on this street. We got one guy that goes to church at PCC that lives on this street. Shooting happened right in front of his apartment. And he's afraid to even come out of the house now. I said, we got to do something. We can't just here on 112th Street here in Tacoma just go along with it from here all the way down to maybe McCord Air Force Base. Been all kinds of things. We got to do something. So maybe we'll have a prayer brigade or something. And give out your vials of oil and go put it on the lampposts and put it on the stop signs and put it on the sidewalks. I'm thinking now. Bill Winston did that. He sure did do it. And those gang demons ain't been back since. That was many years ago, 10, 15 years ago. We need to, instead of just sitting in here with our security looking out the front door, hello, we need to take some authority. Anyhow, no weapon formed against you. This is how you have faith, because a lot of times when you try to have faith, the enemy comes saying, what you talking about? You remember your cousin died? You remember your mother died of a heart attack? What are you talking about? No weapon formed against you. You remember that guy treated you like that? Remember, oh, shut up. All you want to talk about is my past. I want to talk about your future. You're going to the lake of fire forever. Just remember him. Remind him of his future when he wants to talk about your past. We're almost done. No weapon. How many weapons? How many weapons? I don't care if they're guns, BB guns. I don't care if they're slingshots, whatever they are. No weapon. I don't care if it's sickness and disease. I don't care if it's people getting mad at you. I don't care what it is. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. You are God's chosen. And every tongue, how many tongues? You can talk about me all day long. I don't give a rip what you say about me. That's how you got to have that attitude. And every tongue that rises against thee in judgment, trying to judge you. Well, you think you're religious. Y'all are Pharisees, all this old stupid mess. At least I'm in the Bible. Y'all this and y'all that. You this and you're that. What are you trying to be, holier than thou? What are you trying to be, perfect? What are you trying to be? Shut up. No weapon formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against thee in judgment. I didn't say that they're going to come against me with their tongue. But if they do, and every tongue, not some tongues, every tongue, I don't care what people say about you. You need to say, that doesn't work for me. You need to say, that Teflon coating that Pastor Shorter was talking about, I got a dose of that. I got dipped in Teflon last week. Can you see it? No weapon formed against thee shall prosper. Every tongue that rises against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. If you don't condemn it, it's not going to get condemned. So every tongue that rises against me, I just condemn it in Jesus' name. Condemnation means that you put a sign on the building saying non-inhabitable, non-habitable. You can't inhabit this building. So your words, I put a sign on it saying that's empty. Every tongue. Stop fighting people. Stop worrying about what people are saying. Stop worrying about all this stupid stuff online and all that kind of stuff. You got all kinds of people saying all kinds of stupid stuff about you. Stop worrying about that. Quote this scripture and pray this scripture. I pray this scripture. It's in our prayer guide at this church. We pray it over you. No weapon formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. You shall condemn. If you don't condemn it, it keeps going. This is the heritage. I inherited this. This is part of my life. This is part of being in the kingdom. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. This is just what you get. I mean, you know, you went to work at the company that gave you certain bennies. This is a penny for being part of the kingdom. This is the heritage of the servants. Wait a minute. I'm not a servant. I'm a son. You're a daughter. You're a son. If the servants get that, what does the son and daughter get? You don't give the maid or the butler that comes by your house to clean up your house the same thing you give your children. If they're sons or daughters, they get to go in the refrigerator, not just clean it. At least last time I checked, if they eat up all your food, you got a problem, don't you? You hired them to clean, not to eat. But the kids come in there and eat up all the cookies. Who working with? I'm almost done. This is the heritage. You got to take it as just, this is how we are. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And my righteousness comes from him. The Lord is saying this. Says the Lord. So you want to fight about this? You want to argue with this? Go talk to him. Talk to the Lord. And try to get this from him. Get him to change it. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but his word will not pass away. It's forever settled in heaven. So no weapon is supposed to prosper against you. Every tongue that rises against you. Now that tells you that there will be tongues rising against you and there will be weapons. So stop getting shocked when the enemy starts shooting at you. Stop getting angry when the enemy starts talking negative about you. Use the scripture and shut him up and keep moving. Use your faith and receive the blessings of God and stop worrying about everything. Say amen to that. Say, God, today I've begun to live by faith. And I live knowing no weapon formed against me shall prosper. So I can live in faith and not worry about the plans of the enemy. And every tongue that rises against me, judging me in judgment right now, I condemn it. So I cannot be judged by evil. Thank you, Lord. This is the heritage from you. And my righteousness is from you. So I begin the process of living by faith like Abraham. In Jesus' name, I call it done. Amen. Come on, give God some praise and let's thank God for the word we received today. In Jesus' name, praise God.